I'm going to talk about fair use, the fair use law in the U.S., and how we used to use it and how we lost the right to use it and what we're doing now to win it back. I'll try to be very brief because I want to show a few clips of different examples of fair use and what it used to mean and how these restrictions have applied. And I can be a little briefer because everything that Sarah said, I agree with. And in the U.S., everything that she's doing would be clearly protected under the fair use part of the copyright law. The problem is that years ago, when I used to make movies, we used it all the time. We used music. We criticized things. We used it in many different contexts. Over the past 20 years, as rights have consolidated into large corporations, they've become very threatening. You get a letter. Now, in England, you know, the consequences of what you're doing are much smaller. And they know you're a lawyer.
I could go to jail.
Well, but the monetary, I'm talking about if...
Yeah, I have no money, so you're right. There.
Then you go to jail. Okay. What we get is a letter that says, send us $150,000. You've used our material. If you don't comply, you know, and they send them the key to how they've closed down any kind of discussion and use of images for the, in this kind of way, is that they send them to your broadcaster, they send them to your funder, and they send them to your insurance companies. And so that's the problem. 20 years ago, we could use it. We have a very robust law. Now, I can't get it on TV. A clearance culture had grown up within my own community of documentary filmmakers, and so we stopped using it. We self-censored. What we've done is that we have met together around the country in a series of meetings. I'm representing my own organization, Cartemquin Films, and also the Center for Social Media, which after several years of meetings and dealing with different documentary, in all of our sort of organizations that represent us and a group of key lawyers and law schools, we put out the Documentary Filmmaker Statement of Best Practice in Fair Use. And essentially what this does is it condenses this history, but most important, it restates what's in the law. It restates what fair use is. And I'm just going to take, I think I can do this in 30 seconds to give you the highlights. Is the use transformative? Clearly, Sarah's work is transformative. Do you use more of the material than you need to use to make your point? And then the four examples is cultural critique is protected. We live in an image-driven society. If we cannot use images in our cultural critique, we cannot critique our culture. To illustrate an argument, I have an example of that where I'll show where you're saying in the 1950s, Freudian psychology was rampant in America. Well, I have to use images. I have to use other people's work to illustrate that. The third point is, and this is the one, is a Verite documentary filmmaker. Our work, Hoop Dreams, Stevie, The New Americans, a seven-part series, which these are works that have shown in Europe, particularly in Britain, but also in some other countries. I'm filming people in their real life. I'm in a hospital with a woman who's talking about her injured son, and there's elevator music in the hospital. Public television now makes us clear that music. Clearly a fair use work. And the fourth is the most controversial, which is you're trying to use an image. You're talking about history, and you're using something that for only, somebody saying, Martin Luther King saying, I have a dream. There are images and there are words that are a part of our cultural history. One of my favorite lawyers said to me, look, nobody owns history. And to tell history, to do it in a documentary, if you can't arrange the rights from somebody, or if it's prohibitively expensive, or they don't share your politics, you have to be able to use it. So those are the kinds of things that are in our document. More importantly, they're the kinds of things that are in the law. Once we got this document published, we're now circulating it within our entire community. We are now in negotiations with broadcasters, with the gatekeepers that you mentioned, it's the same problem, and with insurance companies to say, we need you to accept this. And it's not me on my own. It used to be just me screaming and, you know, throwing a fit because they wouldn't clear something for fair use. Now it's our whole community coming together with this document. So it's been an exciting struggle. One of the reasons that we're here is that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And the other shoe to drop is when the rights holders push back. And in the past, I have noticed that one of the most powerful constituencies that you can reach out to, one of the most powerful allies, is consumers. Take a show off of TV that has a loyal following, and people come out of the woodwork and will protest. Censorship issues in the past. When we made a film in the 70s about the women's health movement, and it and four other films were censored from the series. They were selected from the series, and then they opted not. They said, no, we can't run them. They're too controversial. They're too political, blah, 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 blah. Well, one of those films dealt with the gay community. They came to public television. They said, we'll have 2,500 people picketing your station, and those are the people who send money into your station tomorrow. And so very quickly, their film got shown. I'm going to show a few examples of things now, if the technology cooperates. This is one from a film. I'm going to digress just for a moment. This is a film we made to bring out the women's vote to defeat Ronald Reagan in 1984. Obviously, we failed. It was dealing with something called the gender gap, the difference between men and women's voting. The people who were putting up the money were terribly concerned with the Federal Election Commission and could we put money into this film. They were also concerned with its clip and, you know, had we cleared the material that we're using. The solution to the Federal Election Commission problem and how much people can give to political campaigns and that kind of thing was, after many consultations with lawyers and this, that, and the other thing, I formed a separate corporation called the Gender Gap Corporation. We said our motivation was to make a lot of money, and all the legal problems seemed to drop away. As long as our motivation was greed, anything is possible. Here's the clip, I hope.
Issues put before them. However, experts say women care to a greater degree than men about issues of war and peace, the poor, and equality. And because of the sheer number of women voters, politicians have to pay attention to whatever differences may exist.
Susan, it's probably the most frivolous issue of all, but how many women, or is there any way of knowing how many women, vote for a male candidate because they find him attractive?
Okay, so that's what we call criticism. The cat, we're critiquing what the news said. The cat is our piece of criticism, and I just claim fair use. One other important thing to understand